take that out a little bit. So yeah, I don't really know what blog I'm going to put this on. This may appear on my actual blog, which I don't have it. I don't have usually have a podcast for that. So like usually I would enter and be like, this is name of podcast, and I'm here with Chris Riley.
Yes, hi. Oh, we're starting already.
And we're going to talk about Horror Hound, which we didn't get to go to that. So
that'll be a short discussion.
Yeah. But we did end up at a Chinese restaurant at 11 p.m.
Yes, yes. During a snowstorm in spring.
So, you know, it wasn't a total loss, I don't think.
No, we learned how to play shuffleboard.
Yeah, yeah, we played. They have a shuffleboard at the Chinese restaurant now.
So that's always a plus.
Like in the dine, not in the bar, because the bar is very small.
No, it was like the least Chinese restaurant I've ever been in my life.
Yeah. Well, we didn't actually go into the restaurant, so that's probably part of that.
Yeah. But, you know, it was good times.
Wrong Tans on Beachmont. We recommend it.
Yes. It's a lounge and bistro.
Yes.
So very good times.
But, yeah, but we did decide, I mean, it was kind of, we wanted to do it to get ready for Horror Hound, which is watch Ticks and The Abomination, which were movies that we watched when we were youngins.
Much younger.
And we used to love to rent VHSs from the movie vault, as I like to call it. I don't really remember the name of it.
No.
Movie Gallery was a real one, right? That was
It was one of those hole-in-the-wall places that would open up in a strip mall and then close like a year later.
Yeah.
But they always had a good selection of horror for some reason.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And they were old VHS tapes that had been sitting around forever. Probably bought from another video store that closed. But anyway, yeah, we would peruse, this is probably what, mid-90s?
Yeah.
Peruse the horror, pick out, I guess, we would go by cover art pretty much.
Yeah, we might probably look on the back and see. Make sure there was a nice gore shot on the back. Yeah.
Pre-internet days, because we couldn't whip out our phones and look up the film like you can now. So, yeah, this is just simply from the cover. So, I guess the cover of The Abomination must have grabbed our attention, because we did rent that.
Yeah, I think there's a couple covers on the internet, but as I remember, it's the one with, like, the woman sticking her head out of the beast's mouth as she's eating.
Yeah.
So, that's... I mean, there was no fancy cover. I think that was, like, straight from the film.
Yeah.
I just took a scene from the film.
The money shot.
And slapped it on there. And we just got finished watching this, and it is... It's terrible.
Bad.
It's not... Like, Chris was looking on the internet, and I guess it's garnered kind of a cult following.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, the director went ahead and did two movies back-to-back. It was this, and then Attack of the Mutant...
Rednecks.
Yeah, there we go.
Attack of the Mutant Rednecks, and it's
and they're saying Abomination's actually the better of the two, oddly enough, which I couldn't imagine.
It's about this woman who thinks that this TV preacher is going to save her life. So she listens to him day and night, and then one day she coughs up a tumor.
Brother Fogg. With two G's.
With two G's.
That's important.
But she coughs up a tumor, and then the tumor is like actually a intergalactic
a pulsate, yeah,
demon spawn.
Which is funny because, you know, if you coughed up a bloody tumor, you probably wouldn't just like leave it on top of the trash can. But that's what she did.
No. Right.
Put a napkin on top of it. No. You know, throw it out in the yard. No. Let the neighborhood cats eat it. No. She just left on top of the trash can, apparently.
And then, of course, later in the film, she calls a doctor to tell him that she coughed up the tumor. And he's like, you need to bring that in.
Let me go grab it. It's on top of the trash.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So she goes digging through the trash, and she picks up the cat and, like, looks in the cat's mouth to try and see if it... But the thing is, I mean, all this sounds funny when we're talking about it, but all the production values are so low.
Yeah.
That none of it is fun to watch.
No one's mic'd in this movie, so the entire soundtrack is done in a shower. It sounds like a shower.
Yeah, it's all done in post.
Or an outhouse, because this was filmed in Texas,
yeah,
apparently.
Yeah, so they went back and they had to redub the entire film.
Because
one of the best parts about that, I think, is that anytime somebody's walking, they feel the need to dub those noises in, like shoe steps.
Or heavy boots on wood planks.
Somebody might be barefoot, but yeah.
Yeah.
Or there's like a scene where he stops and bends down to get something, and they still have the shoes going in the background. And I mean, it's I mean, there's a few funny scenes, I guess.
Brother Fogg, I believe he was the highlight of the movie for me.
Yeah.
And he had maybe 5 minutes of screen time, but when she met Brother Fogg, you know, there was a good, cause again, you know, keep in mind, this is all recorded off site in a shower. So they had two straight minutes of farting and shit noises coming from a bathroom door that was slightly ajar. And you see a hand reaching for toilet paper. So right now they're setting this up. It's like,
yeah.
Why? Brother Fogg's in his office doing his dirty work, you know.
Right.
It turns out, you know, the main character kills him from the toilet. Although I don't know how he knew he was constipated or what.
Well, I mean, everybody uses the bathroom, right?
I mean, I guess it was just a
matter of time. So he puts one of the malicious demon spawn tumors into the toilet. And it eats Brother Fogg.
When Brother Fogg does take care of his business, you know, you hear him screaming, and the next thing you know, the secretary opens the door and there's an abomination with his foot in his mouth.
Yeah, it's terrible. And so, I mean, scenes like that are funny, but the movie is an hour and a half long, and an hour of it is them driving through the countryside.
Or the horse.
Yeah, they'll show, like, just random shots of a horse.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
And a butterfly. The initial death scene that takes place in a graveyard?
Yeah.
Cemetery? Whom, by the way, stars Gay Bottoms.
That's the name of the actress.
I'm thinking she realized how bad the movie was and just say, just call me whatever. I don't care. I don't want my name attached to this.
Yeah.
But they replayed that later on in the movie, all, 10 minutes of it?
Yeah, it's probably closer to 5, but it feels like 15.
Yeah.
But it's like, just a chase scene on foot and then running through the graveyard. And yeah. Because originally he's telling it like it's a dream sequence. Like he dreamt it, and then they go back and it actually happened. So then they re-show the entire scene over again. Terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like one of those 70s kung fu movies that are dubbed in English.
Yeah.
Maybe worse.
It's not worth seeing.
Because, there's an audible hiss, too, that you have to watch it on VHS, or else you'll hear the audible hiss the whole movie.
Right. Yeah. This movie is not easy to find. I got a copy off of iOffer.com.
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody was asking me, like, how that can be legal, and I was like, because it's a 30-year-old movie that was...
Oh, yeah.
That was distributed by a German company that no longer exists.
Yeah. I've gotten some cool stuff iOffer.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to do any suing.
No. They probably don't have an office. They probably just have a Winnebago parked in a field somewhere.
Right.
That's this production company.
So is there anything else you want to say about?
The main character.
Yeah.
Scott Davis. I looked at his
That's his real name, Scott Davis.
Yeah, I looked him up. He actually had a cameo in a few movies, like his, I think it was 8 movies total, but his last one was Necessary Roughness. With Sinbad and Scott Bakula. He was a football player, so...
Which is, it's a known film.
Yeah, I know about it, at least. I think I saw it in the theater, pretty sure. But yeah, it had production value, something that The Abomination sorely lacks.
That's not the one with Goldie Hawn, is it?
No. Kathy Ireland's in it as the kicker.
I might be kidding, yeah. I might be.
Sinbad.
Sinbad.
That was the height of Sinbad's popularity.
Right around the time of that in House Guest.
Yeah. Oh,
a delightful fellow.
The trivia.
Oh yeah, there's one piece of trivia.
There's six. You know how there's 6 degrees of separation. This is completely random, by the way. But Scott Davis, his first movie, what was it called? Tempted. I don't have it in front of me here. Tempted came out the year before. It starred a young Lisa Loeb.
Really?
Who would go on to be a pop star.
Yeah.
Lead singer in the 90s. Yeah. It's like 10 years before Stay, I Missed You and Reality Bites. So this would have been about 19 years. So she was from the area, was in this movie.
And I'm sure it's fantastic.
Somehow gets connected to Kevin Bacon. I don't know.
Sure it's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, she did the soundtrack to Reality Bites. Ethan Hawke was in Reality Bites. Ethan Hawke was in Training Day with Denzel. Go on, help me out here.
Denzel is probably in a movie with Kevin Bacon. Those guys are in a lot of movies. I just went and saw. I saw Flight recently.
Yeah,
not
bad.
I enjoyed it. John Goodman was in it. Can you connect John Goodman to Kevin Bacon? I don't know. I'm not very good with that game because I haven't seen a lot of Kevin Bacon movies, to be quite honest with you.
But he's still cranking them out, so.
I've seen Tremors.
You know, the one thing I thought about was Friday the 13th. Whenever I used to Kevin Bacon, the original. Yeah. But, you know, no one in their grandma has been in that. I mean,
yeah. You know. Yeah.
Or that movie where.
I like to use Tremors because it has the little girl that was in Tremors was the little girl from Jurassic Park.
Really?
So then you have Jeff Goldblum and Sam Neill and Laura Dern and all those people.
Samuel Jackson?
Yeah. Yeah, he's in there. So there you go. Now you got a whole cast of characters. Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on to something bigger and better.
Well, one more footnote. The Abomination, being it's so bad, it's so low budget, it's really a colossal waste of time for all involved. But it stuck with us for 15
that's
years.
That's true. Yeah,
for us
that's
to,
true.
To find it and talk about it here.
Yeah, I really had to go out of the way because I'd been looking for it for a while because I just one day remembered the scene where he coughs up a tumor and sticks it under his bed.
Yeah.
And for some reason I remembered that one day, and then you know, I went on Amazon and it was like $80 for a VHS copy, and I was like, that's probably a little steep.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we saw that again, and
so, you know, view it at your own risk, that's all we'll say. Tabloid, by the way, that's a 1985 movie that co-stars Lisa Loeb. Probably unrecognizable because she's not wearing her signature glasses.
Right, and it was 1985.
But anyway, yeah, enough about Abomination.
Let's talk real quick. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because this isn't one. But we did watch Dead Snow.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
I think I've talked about before. But now, did you enjoy that?
Yeah, very, very cool movie. Although, beforehand you go, now you know it's the guy that directed Hansel and Gretel. And that right there, I was kind of like, eh.
And that's why I was kind of excited about Hansel and Gretel a little bit. The reviews were not good.
Yeah, it just seemed like the worst movie ever, and just the fact that it's so trendy, and you know, they stuck Jeremy Renner in it. It made my skin crawl. But anyway, Dead Snow. Because again, I've only seen it once. Very cool, very enjoyable, very funny.
Swedish,
over the top. Yeah.
Norwegian.
I mean, it had. Production values. It was an original idea, like really original.
Yeah.
Nazis were hiding out in the Norwegian Alps or the mountains for 50 years or so, pining for this gold that they had stolen from villagers. Turns out it's in this cabin that these attractive young kids are hanging out in.
Yeah.
Of course, there's the obligatory old stranger that comes along and warns them what's going to happen, and then he, for some reason, he hangs out in a tent out in the middle of nowhere by himself.
He's like, you guys shouldn't be in this cabin because it's dangerous, and then he he walks 5 miles and pitches a tent in the snow.
Yeah. So, but very cool death scenes, a lot of gore.
Yeah.
Over the top. But yeah, I like the humor in it. They really did a good job. And actually, the cover, the poster art, actually pretty good too. It actually shows the main zombie.
Yeah,
who's like a colonel or
with like his decapitated head in the snow.
They actually go and show a little bit of why they're Nazis, why they're out in this area particularly. You know, they explain it.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job of explaining everything, and it is. It gets kind of ridiculously gory at the end. I fell asleep because I had been up since 4 a.m.
But you've seen it before.
Yeah, because we watched it on Saturday night. But yeah, I have seen it before, and that's why I was happy about watching it again. I think I missed some of the better scenes near the end. I didn't get to see it because I kept dozing off.
I believe he was quartered. They all took an arm or limb, and they quartered him, you know. Isn't that what they called it when you're drawn and quartered?
They quartered the main zombie?
No. The long-haired dude that wore the headband the whole time.
Oh, they did. Yeah.
Very attractive women in this movie, too.
Yeah.
I mean. And it's not dubbed. It's subtitled, but I did not notice at all.
Yeah.
Watching the movie, didn't even.
I usually think of dubbing as usually being a little more distracting, really, because then their mouths are.
Well, then you have something like The Abomination.
Yeah, voice acting isn't always on point when they're doing dub, so. But yeah, so we'll definitely recommend that one. I mean,
definitely, yeah. That's four and a half severed limbs out of five for Dead Snow.
So yeah, that one kind of got lumped in real quick when you got here on Saturday night because I was tired. And
I'd heard of the movie though. So when I saw your collection, you're like, you know, watch something, because originally we were gonna watch a Swamp Thing, and then that wasn't available anymore. So I zeroed in on that movie because I had heard of it. Its reputation preceded it, and it didn't disappoint.
Yeah, very good. But then really came another one that we had been wanting to watch from our childhood, which just hasn't been available on DVD, and they just re-released it on Blu-ray, which seems messed up. But it's called Ticks.
Yes.
And, I mean, it's about mutant ticks who kill people. I mean, there's no... I guess it's a mixture of marijuana and steroids.
Yes. Clint Howard was doing some bad stuff in a grimy basement. And...
Clint Howard.
Yeah, so you know right now it has production values because it starts out with Clint Howard. And then you start seeing...
Some people would argue.
Well, come on, Clint Howard. The Ice Cream Man. Which I'd never seen, by the way. But anyway, as the movie progresses, you start seeing more and more familiar faces from the early 90s.
Yes.
Seth Green.
He's
kind of the main character, really.
Yeah.
Alfonso Ribeiro.
Yes, those two killed right away. Those two are on the screen.
At the time, was on The Fresh Prince.
And yeah.
Probably done in hiatus summer break.
Right.
Know? While Will Smith was blowing up aliens and shit, he was like...
He was doing ticks.
Infested with ticks in the woods. And then I was kind of tickled to see Peter Scolari.
Yeah.
From Bosom Buddies and Newhart.
Yeah. And actually, Clint and Ron Howard's father.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that.
As well as a sheriff.
Who, we looked him up, and he's been in, like, every single 90s movie ever.
I can't remember what his name was now. Rance.
Rance Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like Independence Day. He was like in, like, I don't have it in front of me. Speed. I mean, he was just like in every single movie. Not even directed by his son, because, you know, Ron Howard didn't have anything to do with Independence Day. They just stuck him in there.
Yeah. Didn't you say he was in Cool Hand Luke, too?
That was his debut. So, you know, that's proper when your first movie is a certified classic.
He was in an episode of Coach. I mean, that's. It's pedigree right there.
Probably has been an episode of Seinfeld, because usually when you look someone up, everyone's been an episode of Seinfeld.
He's been in two episodes, playing two different characters. Oh, what a disaster. No continuity there. I guess you don't need continuity. But this is... I mean, I actually rather enjoyed going back and watching this film.
It's
80 minutes long.
It's better than I remembered it.
Yeah. It breezes by.
Not a lot, but again, it's not so much... gory, although you have a lot of the gore, but it's actually more, I think it's the humor and, oddly enough, the storyline that kind of drives it.
Yeah.
How they're going to escape. Like, how long it takes them to figure out there's fucking huge ticks everywhere, and then how they escape. And then there's the bad guys that were really funny.
Oh, yeah.
The shotgun-wielding English guy that kept on combing his hair with a knife or switchblade comb.
Yeah, it looked like it was just a comb, but I think in the end he gets stabbed with it, doesn't he? So I was like, what? I don't know what that was.
I think he threatened someone with his comb at one point.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And I thought he had pulled out like a razor blade, but it was a comb.
No, it's just his comb.
And I don't remember his name in the film.
No.
So I can't tell you who plays him, but he was awesome.
And then his redneck.
It was Sir. His name was Sir. His name is Barry Lynch.
Oh, well, his henchman called him Sir. I thought he was just being respectful.
I did too.
That's his name was Sir. All
well,
right.
I guess maybe they never actually say his real name. So
sure.
But yeah, his name is Barry Lynch, and he actually has a pretty good discography as well. He was in Demonic Toys.
I didn't see that one,
but
didn't see that one.
Couple episodes of Star Trek here. Oh, he did Star Trek video game voiceovers after Ticks. So he hasn't been in very much. But he was awesome. He kind of looks like Gary Busey, actually, a little bit, you know?
Yeah, you said that when he first appeared on
or
screen.
Or Jake Busey, maybe.
Amy Dolan, she was also in the movie. She's the daughter of famous monkey Mickey Dolenz.
Now, who was she? Was she the older woman?
No, she was the long-haired young lady.
She was their daughter, right?
I think so, yeah.
I kept saying something. I don't know if they were married or...
That's kind of ambiguous. That was a twist.
It's kind of ambiguous, but it's not really important.
Well, they take the kids out in the woods because they're either...
troubled. They're troubled.
Autistic or they're drug users or something, you know. Obviously, well, Alfonso Ribeiro
was a
panic because he doesn't.
Yeah, that was his nickname.
That was the first 5 minutes right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, I'm pretty sure he had some kind of gang ties.
Like he was a troubled youth. Maybe did some drug dealing or something.
He was having a really good time playing against hype, against the Carlton.
Right, he was the exact opposite
yeah.
of Carlton.
Very hardcore, which, you know, he is not. Alfonso Ribeiro's certainly not. He did probably have the best death scene in the movie.
And it is probably worth also mentioning that the body count is very low in this film.
Yeah.
Like two or three people, probably.
The bad guys get it. Alfonso gets it. I think that's it. Because when the ticks bite you... Oh, Ron Howard or...
Clint Howard.
Clint Howard died, of course. He had a cool death scene as well.
Yeah, he did.
But when the ticks bite you, they don't necessarily kill you, but they will give you an LSD trip.
Right.
So that lent to some... interesting visuals. I mean, it really was better than I remembered it. It really was. Unlike, say, The Abomination, which was probably worse than I remember it. Ticks, I would watch again.
Oh, yeah.
In the right setting.
I'm not sure that it's worth your $22, but...
Mm. It's on Amazon for, like, $7, I would say.
Yeah.
Pick it up.
That's reasonable. I mean, you don't necessarily... I think they re-release it on Blu-ray and DVD, so I don't... I'm not sure that Tix gains anything from the Blu-ray presentation.
Unlike Dead Snow,
which
I commented during Dead Snow, I was saying it's... You could tell this is Blu-ray because when you're looking at these actors, you could tell, like, every splatter of blood, because they're all pretty much covered by the end of the movie. But it looked really vivid, like they did a really good job with, like, the color saturation, you know, cinematography, all that stuff. Special effects were fantastic. It really benefits from having Blu-ray treatment.
Yes, I
rest
agree.
Ticks, you know,
but who cares?
Yeah, you want to see Alfonso Ribeiro's head blow up, you know,
and that's really what you want. So. But that's worth a $7 DVD if you can find it.
It was. It was a good time. Came out in 94, which you'll see a little bit of the grunge fashion going on.
Ribeiro walks around in his pajamas a lot, it seems like. I guess they're pants, but yeah.
No, that was fashionable at the time.
Like almost like the Zubaz pants.
And they had like a token Asian character, a token Latino. The character wore like the vest with no shirt underneath.
Yeah.
The only time I've seen that was Bono wearing it on the Octoon Baby album.
Show off his musculature.
Yeah, sure.
What he wanted. That was his point.
It was good times. So let's say on a rating scale, I don't know if you rate these. Ticks, I would say probably 4 out of 5.
Yeah, it's a little bit above average. Maybe 3.5 if you're going to go half stars. But because I could see a lot of people... You know, if we remove the nostalgia we have for it, some people may think it's a little boring.
But not necessarily, I don't want to say it's necessarily predictable.
Yeah.
Because, you know, not everyone that you think's going to die dies.
Right.
And there was actually one thing that happened in the movie that confused me a bit. They were fishing. The young girls were fishing. And one of them jumps in this really nasty, turgid pond. Barefoot, and I'm thinking, why is she gonna get in that nasty water? It's, you know, obviously there's shit going on in there. And then she like pulls on a fishing lure and it's a corpse.
Yeah.
And did they ever explain who that was?
That was the sheriff. That was Rance Howard.
Okay.
Now why? I guess maybe he stumbled upon the drug dealer's stash and they shot him.
Because it had a bit of an anti-drug message, would you say? I mean...
Yeah, I guess.
if you grow weed in a basement, you get destroyed by ticks. I mean, that could be...
Something like that, yeah. I remember a big sign in one of the gas stations, like, marijuana destroys lives or something like that.
So maybe ticks was really a anti-drug movie.
Yeah.
And steroids played a factor.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Because the reason that Alfonso turned into a giant tick was steroids.
Yep.
Because, I mean, if you're running from dudes in the woods, you get shot, you're bitten by ticks, what are you going to do? Take some fucking steroids. Yeah? So why not?
Well, there's a few more movies I'd like to watch at some point that we need to, like, Night... What was it? Terrorvision? That's now available.
Oh, Terrorvision. Yes.
Or, yeah. And there's one with a zombie, like, coming through a TV or something.
Oh, that's The Video Dead.
Yeah. That's available on Netflix now, too. I wouldn't mind watching that at some point.
We went pretty old school on this endeavor, Ryan. Like, we had physical copies.
Yeah.
Like, nothing was streaming on this. We went old school, kind of like the old days.
So, yeah, good times. So this is my, you know, this is my yet-to-be-named podcast for my own website. So I really have no sign-off, but I want to just end it abruptly.
Sure. No, we can, we rated the movie. Wait. We can end it with a rating for Abomination.
Well, half a star.
Half a star?
Can we go zero severed limbs, as you like to?
Zero severed limbs?
Zero severed limbs.
I'd say half a severed limb just because we remembered this poor, horrible movie.
Yeah, and there's apparently there's people, like I said, on the... And I think part of that is just because it's so...
Obscure.
So obscure and hard to find that people feel like they...
It adds a little mystery to it, and it's so low budget. I mean, anyone could take a camcorder and go out and film this movie. So, pretty much.
Don't see it.
No.
Half. See Dead Snow. Maybe see Ticks. Don't see The Abomination.
Yeah.
It'll make you ill.
Yeah, it would, yeah. I couldn't eat pizza. You actually ate pizza right directly after the movie. I didn't.
There's a lot of, like, blood. And
I couldn't.
Like, I think they cover, like, some cottage cheese and some red.
Drop
it out of somebody's head like it's his brains.
Yeah. Parts of the movie and the trailer are available on YouTube. So, I mean, you can certainly not take our word for it.
Yeah.
You can see it yourself.
You can watch the trailer is, like, has, like, all the gory parts in it. So,
yeah. So.
You look up 1986. Was it 86?
86 is supposedly when it was filmed, but the copyright on the actual movie says 88.
Yeah. So I think if you look up Abomination 86
you'll get more
on
hits.
YouTube. You can watch that fine trailer. So hopefully until we do this again at some point,
which will be very somewhat soon, I can
guarantee.
I can guarantee, yeah. After we get like 2 Facebook hits out of this.
That's right. That's all we need.
2. That's it.
That's it.
Because that'll equal the number of people sitting here talking about these movies.
We're out of here.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for listening.